We'll pick it up in Revelation 14, just on some miscellaneous studies here. And just in starting, if you'll notice in verse 4, it says, "These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins." All right, now, you have a lot of these people talk about they're Israel, or they're the Jews and things like that, and you take them over here to Revelation 14 and say, okay, well, are you a virgin then? Because it says that they're virgins. All right, so but I want you to notice something too. Do y'all remember the thing? I tell you what, we'll just turn there quickly. Look at Matthew 25 and. Just show you a couple of these things where you can do your cross-referencing here. Matthew 25, and just showing you the difference in things. It's not church age. Matthew 25, verse number 1, showing you the things about these virgins here. All right, now notice, first of all, Matthew 25, verse 1, what's it speaking of? "Then shall the kingdom of heaven," the kingdom of heaven is different than the kingdom of God, and it's like one man said, he said, "Well, how can you tell?" Well, they're spelled different. But birds fly in the heaven right here, but birds can't fly in God. You got different things going on, but the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. All right. Now, what happens is, that's why in the Gospels you'll see sometimes they'll say kingdom of heaven, sometimes the kingdom of God. Well, when Jesus is here, the King of both kingdoms is here. And that's why whenever he comes back, the kingdoms will be together, because he's the King of both kings. But the kingdom of heaven is spoken of here like this. It says, "Kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." So they go to meet the bridegroom there. All right. Now, you'll notice this is a different theme. "And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather them and sell and buy for yourselves.'" Well, you know that that's not Pauline doctrine there. But we get that, you know, they say, well, oil is type of the Holy Spirit. And they, well, we get it freely. What we've got freely given. And you've got a thing going on here that's a tribulation setup. And you got those virgins there. But those virgins are the same ones. Now look at Psalm 45. Those virgins. Well, see, what you have is you've got the family of God in the scripture. And so you've got different people in the family of God. You're going to have, just think about all the saints you'll have. You'll have Old Testament saints under the law, Old Testament saints that weren't under the law, Old Testament saints that were Jews, Old Testament saints that were Gentiles. Then you got all that before the cross. Then you got all the people who are saved in the church age. Then you got people who went into the millennium. Then you got people who were born from the people who went into the millennium. You got all kinds of things going on. And then you're going to have the apostles. That's a separate group that won't be added to or taken away from. And then not only do you have the apostles there, you got some people there who are over 10 cities, and some people over 5 cities. You're going to have all kinds of different things. Heaven is not going to be boring, I can tell you. It's going to be the Lord's going to have a perfect governmental setup. You're going to have King David ruling and reigning. And then you're going to have, of course, King Jesus is going to be the focus of everything. But the Bible says of his government there should be no end. So you think about what's going to happen whenever the planet Earth gets overpopulated. Boom, you keep going out. And guess what's going to happen? Right here where Calvary happened It's special to the Lord, and the Lord will be ruling and reigning. You know, as far as planet Earth will be special, New Jerusalem, and all that, and boom, right here will be the focal point. Because the Lord Jesus, and man, it'll just go out and go out and go out. And that's why that text, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered in the heart of man. You can't imagine what it's going to be like. Because guess what's going to happen? 10,000 years go by and you're just getting started. Why? Because you hadn't seen what it even headed to. The glories of God are just going to be able to go and go and go and go. And the thing is too, who can find out God? Well, man, the Lord, you can learn about Him and learn about Him and learn about Him, and you're just scratching the surface. It's just going to be wonderful. But you got different people there, and if you'll notice in Psalm chapter 45, we're talking about those virgins there, and I just lost my place. Psalm chapter number 45. Here it is. Look at verse 14. This is going to be different from us. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions, that follow her shall be brought unto thee. See that thing? You got a totally different thing going to be going on in heaven. You got virgins that's going to be aside from the bride. And so in Revelation there, you got these virgins. And you got some of those different groups. All right, now back to Revelation. I just wanted to show y'all that you run this thing through. Why? That's not the body of Christ, because the body of Christ is never called virgins. We're the virgin bride of Christ, but we're never spoken of as virgins, plural like that. We're one thing. Why? Because we're the body. And so you got that difference, and that might help you sometime in dealing with some people who tries to put the church in the tribulation. They'll say, well, here's the virgins, right? No, that's not us, because we're espoused to Christ, one virgin. And so it's different. All right, now in verse 6, it says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. All right. Now, you know Galatians 1, where it says, if an angel preach another gospel, you know that's dispensational, because here's an angel preaching another gospel and he's not cursed. Well, guess what? In the church age, if you see an angel, you better run from it. And if it's got wings, you better get going. Wow, that's a devil. But see, in the tribulation, you got a thing, this thing here going to the nations, to the Gentiles. And you know what? Here's what he says. He don't say anything other than this. Saying, verse 7, this is what he's preaching. With a loud voice, don't preach loud, it's not any good, no loud preaching. It's crazy. Fear God and give glory to Him, for the honor of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. You know why? See, they're saying this. Don't worship the beast and his image. Worship Christ. See, you got an angel preaching the gospel. Why? It's got to get out. He's flying through. Why? It's just about to fall. The thing just about to come, and he's got to get that thing done quick. He's coming through, and I'm telling you, his voice will probably be so loud that you're able to hear that thing over no telling how far. I'm not talking about a mile or 2 miles. I'm talking about, if I had to guess, probably 100 miles or more. He's going to be able to cover a lot of ground. And his voice is going to be loud. And so he's coming through there doing that. So you got that thing. Now in verse 8 it says, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen. Now it says this, is fallen. All right, now I don't have time to go into the whole thing, but I can say this. One reason why it says is fallen, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. You've got the law coming back in. It says reward unto her double. Y'all remember reading that thing? What's going to happen is she's given blood to drink, and she'll drink blood. And what's going to happen to her? Because that law is in effect, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, what she gets will be double. Whatever she gives out, she'll get the thing back double. And that's why it is fallen.
And then you can say this too. Not only is literal Babylon destroyed, but spiritual Babylon is going to be destroyed. So you got a double application there. And look at this. This is people who say that you can't lose your salvation in the tribulation. Taking the mark of the beast will cause you to lose your salvation, tribulation. It says, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man, now any means any. It didn't say any man who wasn't saved or anything like that. It says, any man worship the beast in his image. Now that's in contrast to worshiping God in verse 7. So if you either worship Jesus, like it says, or you worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink, it didn't say might, shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture, into the cup of his indignation, and he shall. But you see that confidence, it's not a might be or anything. You take it, you shall drink, and you shall be tormented with fire and brimstone. All right? So if you'll see that thing there, you'll notice that it don't matter who it is. If they take that mark, that's it. So why are they supposed to keep the commandments? Keeping the commandments will keep them from taking that mark of the beast. It's that simple. If you're the Lord's got them so protected, where if you're not having any other gods above God, you're not going to worship that image. If you're not wanting to murder, see, murder will be part of a big part of the tribulation. Well, you're not going to take that mark. If you're not stealing, you're not going to take all those things, and adultery will be huge, huge. Not only physical, but spiritual in the tribulation. And those things will keep you from taking the mark of the beast. Well, Roman Catholicism is going to be huge. Image worship will be huge. And that's why he's called the idol shepherd. I-D-O-L shepherd. It's amazing how that Bible says in Zechariah he's called the idol shepherd. That's amazing, man. Why? Because, see, idols are connected with him. And he's got the image worship. And so I want you to notice this too. Notice there in verse 11 it says, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. All right, so that's not annihilationism. You know, a lot of these people teach, well, you know, you're going to be thrown into, I've had several of them say they believe in eternal death. That means once you're in the fire, that's it. No, it says forever and ever. But it says this, and they shall have no rest day nor night who worship the image of the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Now watch this. Jump down to verse number 13. It says, they shall have no rest, them ones that do that. Verse 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead. This is amazing. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest. See, the other ones have no rest, but they may rest from their labors. Why, come on, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Isn't that a blessing? And their works do follow them. Not only is he going to give them rest, but once their works follow them, they'll be rewarded for the things they've done. See, there's a difference. There's no rest to the wicked, the Bible says. They have no rest. You know what you'll find out? The wicked people, they will literally stay up all hours of night trying to let wine inflame them and things like that. They had no rest. Why? They have got to find something to fill that void in there. And you know what we can do? We can go if we want to. We can go to bed at 7:30, 8 o'clock. Why? Because we've got rest in the Lord. We've got satisfaction in him. I don't have to go out and find something to give me satisfaction. You can have satisfaction in the Lord and the things of the Lord. But see, they don't please the wicked. All right, so we have rest, and they're going to have rest. But notice this is dispensational, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now look, y'all, to me, that's really simple. That is not my salvation right there. Now, don't get me wrong. I want to keep the commandments for obedience and because I love my Lord and I want to have good fellowship with him. But as far as for my salvation, that is not a part of my salvation. Why? Not of works.
keeping the commandments is works, not of works, not of work. It's all through there, the Pauline epistle.
All right, so what you have is God is keeping them protected by giving them those commandments. And so you'll see those things there. But now let's look at something else. Just jumping through here. Take your Bible. We're going to go through verse 15. Hold that place there and look at... let's compare Matthew chapter number 3. Matthew chapter number 3. I want to show you this. Here's a good little thing doctrinally. I was reading a book. I got a book in there. It's actually a pretty good book. And it's on revival, but Church of God guy wrote it, and he talks about you need to get the baptism of fire and the baptism of fire. But other than that, he's pretty spot on a lot of things. But they all talk about this baptism of fire, and I've even heard some pretty good preachers get up and say, "Man, you need to get the baptism of fire." Now, I don't think there's nothing wrong with saying you're on fire for the Lord. That just means, you know, John was a burning and shining light and things like that. But as far as getting a baptism of fire, that's not good. Getting immersed in fire, baptism is getting immersed. I don't want to be immersed in fire. So what they do is they kind of are confused on this thing. And I just want to show you. Hold your place in Revelation 5 or 14, verse 15. Matthew chapter 3, look at this. John the Baptist speaking, verse 11. Tells you what his baptism was. I indeed baptize you with the water, with water under repentance. Well, that text tells you Acts 2:38 is a continuation of John's baptism under repentance. It's a baptism under repentance. But watch this. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, speaking of Jesus, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now look here. He's speaking to a bunch of people. You can either get one of the two. Now I'll show you. The text is teaching that. You can get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And see, they say, well, there's the fire. You need the fire baptism. No, you need the Holy Ghost baptism. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, you've been made to drink in one spirit. When you trust in Christ, I know y'all know this, but this is when you trust Christ, the Holy Spirit places you into Jesus Christ, and you're risen a new man. That's the Holy Ghost baptism. He places you in the body of Christ. All right, but there are going to be some people who are on the broad road, some people, a lot of people. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to get this. Look at verse 12. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. Now here's, we're going to look at this in verse 15 and 16. And gather his wheat into the garner. That's one thing. That's his wheat. That's the good thing. The wheat is a good thing. But watch this. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. There's your baptism of fire. All right. So look at this. In Revelation 14, verse 15, this is whenever he said over there, he will gather his wheat in the garner. Watch verse 15. Tribulation context there, because guess what? He hadn't even died on the cross yet, and he's offering the kingdom, so the tribulation's in view back Matthew. And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. That's the gleanings of the harvest. He's coming there and getting the gleanings of the harvest. Remember, the first resurrection is like a harvest. First fruits, harvest, rapture. That's the main harvest, and then gleanings. So there's where he gathers his wheat into the garner, verse 15. But watch this. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. All right, so you still got that thing gathered in his barn. Watch this. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven. He also having a sharp sickle. And it goes on, talk about the vine of the earth. Her grapes were fully ripe. But watch this, verse number 20. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even under the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. All right, so guess what? He's going to burn up the chaff. That's the second part of that verse right there. Every one of those people that comes in there and that gets stomped on in the wrath of God, guess what happens? They're going to go get burned. You got two parts to that thing. Now, what does that match? Let me show you this in Acts. Look at Acts chapter number. What's going on in Acts? The kingdom is still being offered in early Acts. All right. And you'll notice something here in Acts chapter number 1. And show you what he did not say. Now, you remember back in Matthew, he said, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So they say, well, you need to make sure you get the fire baptism. And they'll have that thing. Some people teach that thing this way and that way. But they teach basically a second blessing and all this stuff. No. Let me tell you what. I'm not even. You can't call it a second blessing. But this is what a blessing is, I tell you. Once you get saved, yielding to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit control you. That is the goal. And it comes with being in fellowship with the Lord. Now, this is what's going on. And I'll show you this text just a minute. Get back to this a minute. This is the danger. So many people are wanting to work, 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 work. They say, if I do this, then I'll be in fellowship with the Lord. If I do this, I'll be in fellowship with the Lord. All this do this and do that and do the other thing. It doesn't work like that. First, you got to worship. Abel, worship God. But guess what Cain did? He offered the very best. I've got this fruit and I've got, look how beautiful this thing is and all this stuff. And the Lord said, no. You did all that. I want you to come my way. And you know what he told him? He said, basically you can go over there and tell Abel, and Abel will give you a sacrifice. But you know what? He's too prideful to go ask Abel for a sacrifice. You know he would have gave him one. But you know what? That pride got him. And you know what he thought? Because I'm busy, I'm serving the Lord. Worship has to come first. Obedience is better than sacrifice. All right, so guess what? Abel comes God's way with an old bloody sacrifice, just this old bloody thing. And see, the world don't like that. They don't want to come God's way. You got to worship first. All right, Abel. And see, you got in Hebrews 11, it talks about Abel. Then it talks about Enoch. Well, guess what? Abel worshiped. It starts that way. Enoch walked with God. You got to worship first, then the walk comes. Guess what? Then the work. Noah worked. Guess what? He built an ark. Abel, worship first, walk second, work third. Now, if you don't have it in that order right there, you know what's going to happen? You'll get confused and you'll start having to you got to get this thing. And what's happening is so many people are so busy, they forget to worship. And you know what? If you don't worship, your walk and your work will not be right. And y'all, that's one of the biggest things. You do what you can do, yielding to the Lord with what you got. If you don't have the means, God hadn't sent you there. Why? The old saying, where God guides, God provides. And you don't have to you don't have to force yourself. You got so many people nowadays being forced to be preachers, being forced into this and forced into that ministry and forced into the other thing. What's happened? They're forcing it. Let God open the doors. You know, Paul, here going back to Paul, I'm going down to Jerusalem. I must go. They come. The Holy Ghost warns him like five times and comes through there and said, look, this thing. He even had one guy come through there and said, look, this is what's going to happen to the man that goes down there. I'm going. Well, man, he got in a mess. Well, y'all, you got to go in what the Lord tells you. And see, this thing here, going back to this, you just get filled with the Holy Ghost. And that comes through the right worship. And then you walk with him. Then you work for him. Acts chapter 1, verse 5, watch what he leaves out. For John truly baptized with water, showing that there's a different thing. But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Well, you know, your cross-reference there back to Matthew 3. Well, guess what he left out? He left out the fire. Baptized with the Holy Ghost. He didn't say and with fire. It's a different thing. He's talking to one group of individuals who are following the Lord. He said, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost instead of talking to one great big old crowd. And so you got a whole different thing. That's why you have to analyze those scriptures and look back and forth and cross-reference. Because right here, he's saying this. And guess what you get the power for? Verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. All right? I've told you this, and it's true. Why should the Holy Ghost entrust you with power if you're not going to use it to do what He tells you to do? See, so many of these people, they want the power, they want the power, they want the power. Well, God's not going to entrust you with power if you're not going to do what He wants you. And some people say, well, I need to do something great big. And that's the flesh trying to tell you, you have to do this. Look, do what God tells you to do. I believe everything you do ought to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Whenever we get in our vehicle, we ought to do it filled with the Holy Spirit. Whenever we're working around the house, we need to do it filled that you never know who's watching you, never who know who's around you. And that's like that thing last night. Who would have ever thought that an argument could have turned out and somebody said, hey man, I just seen you arguing there and I'd like to get some, see how you believe then, you know. That stuff, mate, that's important, man. Praise the Lord if He'll allow you to be used by Him. And so that's what you have there. I wanted to show you that. Now let's look at Revelation again. And let's look at something in Revelation chapter number 16. Let me see how we're doing on time.
15.
All right, we'll go over this, and I still got several things. Look at Revelation 16 and verse number 2 says, this is talking about when the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth come out, and it says, and the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. Now, took my concordance out and look at Genesis number 19, Genesis chapter 19. Now, this word is used in Genesis 19 in a different form. It don't mean sore like a hurt, but I just thought it was very interesting that the first mention of the word sore happens to be in Genesis chapter number 19, even though it's used in a different way. But I just thought it was interesting, so I wanted to start it off with that. But the first mention of sore in the Bible is connected with Sodom. Genesis 19 verse 9. It says, and they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow come into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. That's how the Sodomites all, you're judging me, you know. You're going to come up and judge me. And now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they press sore upon the man. It's connection with what Sodomites are doing to somebody. I just thought that was very interesting that the first mention of the word sore was connected with something Sodomites were doing doing to somebody. All right. But now let me show you this. The second thing you'll see about a sower, it's not the second mention, but something else I want you to see. Look at Deuteronomy 28. And we'll connect these things together. Now you remember, while you're turning to Deuteronomy 28, that text told you in Revelation 14:12 that they're supposed to keep the commandments and the faith of God. So keeping the commandments is very important in the time of the tribulation. All right, so watch what this curse and this sore is connected to. And Deuteronomy 28 verse 15, he's giving you the blessings and the cursings. He says, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all. He didn't say some, he said all. All his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. You know what some of them are? Some of them are like verse 28. They're going to be smited with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. You know, not only that, but diseases and things like that. So you got a sore that's going to come up. Now, watch this. Turn to Job chapter 2. Job chapter 2. There's going to be a sore come up on those that take the mark of the beast. So Job chapter 2. And now while you're turning to Job, remember, Job lays on one side after he gets smoked by the devil.
and he's being persecuted by the devil. He's in the land of Uz, and there's 42 chapters in the book of Job. There's 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. All this stuff is typical of what's going on with somebody being persecuted by the devil in that same land. All right, now watch verse 7. All right, what's going on with him. Verse 7, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot under his crown. He had to scrape those things and everything else. You know what? He got leprosy. All right, now if you'll follow this, now turn over again. I know you're turning a lot, but look at Leviticus chapter number 13. Leviticus. Let's see what this sore is. Leviticus 13. Man, sometime we ought to go through and look at all the 13:13s in the Bible. All these chapters, chapter 13, verse 13, and things like that. It's a lot of interesting things.
Leviticus what?
13. All right. So, 13, of course, y'all know is the rebellion number. And if you rebel against the Lord in the tribulation, I even hesitate to say you, we're going to be raptured out of here. But if the people rebel against the Lord in the tribulation, you know what's going to happen? They worship the beast. They're going to take the mark of the beast, and there's going to be something associated with that mark. And they're going to get this disease. And you know what leprosy pictures? Sin. You know what the ultimate sin is? That thing is taking that mark of the beast. Wow, there's no coming back from it. I don't see anything in the Bible that gives you a coming back from taking them. Once you take the mark, it looks like it's over. All right, Leviticus 13, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or a bite spot, and it shall be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy. All right, so you see we're dealing with the plague of leprosy. All right, y'all remember reading in Jude about that garment spotted. Look at verse 4. Verse 4. If the bright spot, be white in the skin. Look at the bottom of that verse. Shall shut up him that hath the plague 7 days. All right, does that ring any bells? Now let's look at this thing. Keep going here. Verse 13. Then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy have covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean. That hath the plague, it shall be turned white as clean. So in verse 13, you see leprosy again. Now you think about that though. While we're going through this, and I'll show you this thing about the sore. Leprosy, you know who they're following? They're following the leopard. He's like that beast is like a leopard. All right, that's just amazing. It's called leprosy. All right, we're looking at this spot and this sore. It's leading to it. Verse 19, it says, and in the place of the boil, there be a white rising. See, Job had the boils, you know, or a bright spot. All right, look at this, verse 24. It says in the bottom of the verse, a white, bright, white, bright spot, somewhat reddish or white. Verse 25 says, in the middle of the verse, in the bright spot. Verse 28, and if the bright spots, see that spot over and over. Now watch this. Verse 38, if a man also or a woman have in the skin of their flesh bright spots. All right, remember that thing, spots are they. You remember reading that over there in Peter? Now verse 39, then the priest shall look, and behold, if the bright spots in the skin of their flesh be dark white, darkest white, it is a freckled spot. You got that thing. Now here comes your sore. Look at verse 42. And if there be in the bald head or a bald forehead a white reddish sore, it is a leprosy sprung up in his bald head or his bald forehead. All right, you got that forehead connection. All right, now look here. That sore is connected with those spots and leprosy. And you know what? That leprosy is connected to that leopard, and they take that mark of the beast. Guess what happened? They get that disease of leprosy. Now, Jude talked about the spotted garment. What is the only disease that you know that can actually get in a garment like that? Look at verse 47. The garment also that the plague of leprosy is in. There's Jude 23. See? Whether it be a woolen garment or a linen garment. All right? You got that whole thing. Look at the garment again. Look down at verse 52. He shall therefore burn that garment. All right, verse 53. And if the priest shall look, and behold, the plague be not spread in the garment. See, it's connected to a garment. All right. Watch it be connected to 7 days. Then the priest shall command that they wash the thing wherein the plague is, and he shall shut it up 7 days more. That thing's even connected with the Daniel's 70th week. All right, look at verse 59, and we'll stop with that. But this is the law of the plague of leprosy in a garment. See that thing right there that's connected? And that's connected to the mark of the beast. We'll stop.